A lot of revelation. See, open the right hand of God, right back up, right in the middle of all this, and how it pertains to faith, and what we're doing with faith, even targeted faith. So, today, I want to give you something I got about 2 o'clock in the morning last night. And the first thing you need to know about this seat, again, is the rest. You enter into the rest. The seat of glory, the seat of inheritance, has many, many, many operations, or many seats, but it's one seat. And has multiple eternal revelations within each seat. That's all I can tell you about it. When Jesus said, I pray, Father, they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. The glory you're beholding, where he is in the right hand of the Father. Where you are is in the right hand of the Father. And the glory that you're beholding is the fullness of all things and everything. And he has to show you different parts of it and let you sit in different seats. For instance, I sat with him last Sunday morning in the seat of nations, and I saw nations. I sat with him and I saw them as far as the eye could see. It was so normal and plain and glorious. When you're in that place, everything's just wonderful. There's nothing in you that's out of calibration with that place. Everything's calibrated perfectly. Everything's in harmony. And I'm just sitting in the nations, and you think, who are these people? I didn't even say it. I thought it. He said, these are the people that will be one in your generation before I return. And I'm thinking, oh, that's wonderful. I get back here, and I start scratching my head. I said, wait a minute. I was sitting with people in glory that hadn't even been born again yet. I said, I don't understand that, but there I perfectly understood it. Because glory, the realm of glory has no time. You can be fast-forwarded in the realm of glory. He can sit you 10, 15 years in front of things. The glory doesn't have any boundary to it. The kind of boundaries we understand is time. The glory has no boundaries. In fact, the deeper you go into the glory, see, men like Enoch, when they found such glory, they didn't want to come back, see. But we get to come back. There's things that you receive there. He said, when you're in my glory, see, when you go through point A is you enter the kingdom in your citizenship. Point, you say point B is, say that's the seed of inheritance. When you get into the glory, he said, everything in my kingdom is about being in me. Everything about your faith is you got to be in me. You got to be in my peace. You're in the seat. You've been raised together, made to sit together in Christ. It's all about in whom, in him, in Christ. Amen? It's all about being in that place. When you come back, it's Christ in you. All that you receive comes back through that door, and now it's all in you. Say, in you. And that's the place. When you come back through the door, that you should decree, release, loose, and speak to the mountains. And you should speak to the mountains as soon as you come out of prayer. When I say come out of prayer, come out of the veil. Because you're going to be the fullest when you come out of the veil. You're going to be very full, amen? And you want to release that. See, the Lord comes back. And that authority, and I realized how he spoke, and they said his word was with power. The Lord lived in the Father, and he came back out of the Father, and then the Father spoke through him. He said, the works I do, the Father does those works. When we go into the Lord, we come back through the veil, he speaks through us. What you receive there is released here, and it's got to come through you. It comes through. Amen? Remember Daniel when he prayed? And the prince of Persia withstood him for 21 days? And he had to battle against that prince of Persia because the second heaven prince, that was a principality. That wasn't just a low-level devil. That dude withstood him for 21 days, and he was a prince over a whole region, whole nation over Persia. See, you wrestle against flesh and blood, but not in the exchange with God anymore. I mean, you wrestle with principalities and powers, but not in the exchange. You wrestle when you release. Because they come and they get people all messed up. But watch this. Are you ready for this? You go in to the holiest of all. That's the kingdom. And then you go and sit down in the seat of inheritance. And then he shows you his glory and he reveals his glory and you partake of the inheritance of the saints in life. And he transfers things from that realm to you. You're in the third heaven. You understand that. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. You take that blessing, you come back through the veil, you go back through that door, and then you release. When you release that, the Holy Spirit manifests that. God just bypassed the entire second heaven altogether. The devil cannot stop the exchange because you're not going through his territory. Now, the reason why it takes point A believers, they never get out of point A, they do all their praying and believing here. The reason why it takes so long is because they're subjected. Their prayers have to come through a veil of second heaven interference. Principalities and powers will interfere with those prayers because everything they're doing is here. But when you go there and receive it, it comes back with you. And then the Holy Spirit manifests and he bypasses the enemy altogether. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Going to need to understand this part if you're going to operate in that seat of inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All, say all. Say, why did he do that? Why didn't he just bring them here? Why didn't God put it all up there? That God in his genius, the second Adam, last Adam, knew that he was the final inheritor. So when he inherited it all in the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers, and the enemy had no access to this inheritance. None, say none. Now he steals a lot here. There's no doubt about it. He is a thief, a little conniving thief. He doesn't play fair. Because see, he owns a lot of this territory down here until the kingdom of God takes over, see. He has a right to operate like he does, but not in our lives. Amen. So we have to get the kingdom of God manifesting. When the kingdom of God manifesting, he can't do anything. But so God puts it all there so it won't be stolen again. Because this inheritance was so big, so huge, so large, so much of everything, so full that God didn't want it stolen again. Because the enemy created the entire world system on stealing Adam's inheritance. Amen? So it's all there. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, verse 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having what? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, most time when you read that, that's a really nice little sentence right there, isn't it? That little verse opens the entire first chapter of Ephesians. And if you don't know what he just said there, you know why? This is what the Lord spoke to me at 1 o'clock in the morning. He goes, you know why you don't understand that verse right there? I said, I do understand. He says, no, you understand adoption in your terms, but you don't understand. Are you ready for this? Adoption in terms of a ruling monarchy. We don't really have kings in this country. We don't understand how monarchies work. When God adopted you, you weren't adopted. We understand adoption because of the way our families work. When you adopt somebody, most of the time, hey, you're adopted, you're part of our family, and I go to work. When you're adopted into a reigning, ruling monarchy, you automatically are given an inheritance. Now, there's two types of adoption in a reigning, ruling monarchy. One of them is legitimate. They make you a legitimate heir. Like now, and then there's one like the king of Brunei. He's adopted like hundreds and hundreds of babies all over the world. He takes care of them, but they're never going to be heirs to his throne because they're not part of a legitimate bloodline. So let's read this again and see what he's saying here. It says, having predestinated unto the adoption, that word children means sons. Say sons, by Jesus Christ to himself,
according to the pleasure of his will, he adopted you into a monarchy, an eternal monarchy. He adopted you into the wealthiest family in the history of mankind, and it will never, ever lose its power or glory. When you were adopted with full rights. It was different than this being adopted, because God just didn't adopt you. He purchased you with blood. He goes into this, and he says, has redeemed us. Now notice he says a couple of verses later, he said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. See, you redeemed by blood, which gave you legitimate rights as heirs of the Most High God, because you're born of blood. You're born of a bloodline. You're not just adopted and belong to another family. You belong legitimately now into the bloodline of the Most High God. You are a son, a daughter that's been adopted into a very, very powerful and a very, very wealthy and a very, very everything monarchy. And the only way you describe it is he described it. I am. I am. Isn't that glorious? You've been adopted in the bloodline. So he goes in to begin to describe your inheritance, because when you're adopted into a legitimate bloodline adoption, you're like born into that family now, because you've really been born again. You were born, say, born again. I was born into a family, but it's a monarchy, and the Father runs all things. And nobody will ever be more powerful than him. And Jesus holds the second highest seat at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? You've been given absolute equal rights with the Lord Jesus Christ. He shares his throne with you because you are a legitimate son and a legitimate daughter that's born out of blood. You're an heir, and you've got to know you're an heir, because everything about the seat of inheritance operates by joint heirship. It operates by kingly power, kingly authority, kingly dominion. Isn't that glorious? See, the Bible needs the Holy Ghost to inspire. Because when you get a revelation, you won't struggle about where you sit. When you're in God, look, when you're at the door and you've done something wrong, get it dealt with under the blood. But when you sit in that seat, you don't sit unworthily. You don't sit with inferiority complexes. You don't sit in that seat that he gave you with fear, inferiority. You sit as a legitimate heir of the Most High God, with full inherited rights to sit there. And he's going to talk to you about the inheritance, because he adopted you. He's given you an inheritance. And he talks a lot about inheritance. He talks about position. He talks about your legitimate heirship by way of the blood of Jesus. Then he talks about your inheritance, because this is what God's all about. He loves you. Say, he loves me. But he wants to give you all things. It pleased the Father. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So now we're sons. Now we're heirs in a monarchy. Do not read that Bible in the light of your present familiarity of how you think families work. You have to read that in the light of the way God's family works. It's a monarchy. It's always going to be that way. Amen. We have redemption. Verse 9. Verse 8. Where is he abounded toward us? With all wisdom and prudence. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now he's going to get into something really awesome here. He's made known unto us the mystery of his will. Why is there a will? Because you're an heir. See, I'm an heir. When you're an heir, you have a will assigned to you from that king and that kingdom. He's going to have to make known to you the mystery of what's yours.
Having made known unto the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure that he purposed in himself.
Verse 10. Now, this verse looks like it's projecting us out in the future.
Look at verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, on the earth, even in him.
That sounds like something's going to happen in the future, right? Because he said in the dispensation of the fullness of times. You know what Galatians 4:4 says about the dispensation of the fullness of times? That it's now. It's the dispensation you live in.
Galatians 4:4 says this.
But when the fullness of time was come, say fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. Or you can say when the dispensation of the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that they were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son in your heart, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore you're no more a servant, but you're a son. And if a son, you're an heir of God. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, I'm an heir of God, and that is now. See, I'm an heir.
Glory realm is like the seat of inheritance, is like the promised land altogether, because Christ sits there and he's in the promised land. As you enter into him, and then he takes you into different parts of the promised land, like Mount Hebron. You go into different parts, see. It's all in Christ, see. We go into him in that seat. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Say we're sons, legitimate heirs. Say we have to do some serious renewing of the mind to understand how this works. There are some protocols up there. You don't go sit in that seat unworthily. If you're feeling unworthy, you need to get that dealt with before you sit in there.
You got to know who you are and know who God made you, and you got to sit there. You can sit there in humility, but not unworthy.
Amen. None of that stuff's going to work in that seat. Oh, God, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm unworthy, God, but I thank you for the pair of shoes you gave me today. Hallelujah. That has never worked there. That won't work here either. Praise the Lord. When you sit there, you're an heir king. Say an heir king. You're a joint heir. You sit there with all that he inherited for you. So you have to respect that inheritance. Amen. There's a lot there, and you're going to sit in the glory. And when he says he's going to show you the glory, that's one of the things that God did over the weekend. He changed our definition of the glory, because a lot of times our glory is, well, what's the glory? Well, it's a cloud. Yes, it is. Well, it's the fullness of his person. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And it's everything else too. The glory is all things. All your inheritance is the glory. When you go in to him, he has to show you the glory, because you can't see it all at one time, because it's so rich and deep and thick and heavy. You get caught up in it, beholding one part of it. He'll let you see what he wants you to see at the time. And then as you acclimate, he'll let you see more and more and more. But the idea is you sit with him in the glory. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is the way the Lord's mantle worked. I understand the mystery. I'm not operating like him, but I understand exactly how he operated now and why he could operate in the realm of the anointing without measure, and why we're over here in the gift realm, because the gift realm is when God brings his glory in the form of a gift over here, and it's always going to be limited. It's glorious. I'm not making light of the gift realm, but we're after something that's far greater than that. We want the anointing without measure, because there's two individual models in the New Testament. There's a gift realm called the Corinthian model, and there's an anointing without measure, which the Lord promised to the sons and the heirs of God that we could operate in. And if we're going to operate, we got to know how he did it. I know how he did it. He went into the Father. He dwelled in the Father. And the Father, he beheld the glory of the Father. And the glory of the Father came back into the earth with him. And he released that by way of the Holy Ghost. Because the glory will get on you. You wear it. You receive it. That's what you are in your new creation. That seat has all kinds of stuff going on in it.
Can't wait to get back in there. Finding myself going there 2 or 3 times a day now.
We're in the dispensation of the fullness of times. We've been made heirs of God now. Amen. You're going to have to renew your mind to that if you're going to function the way God wants us to function in the last hours.
Oh, let's look at verse 10. Okay, so in dispensation of the fullness of times, let's say in our dispensation, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, the invisible, and on earth, the visible. Because Colossians says basically the same thing, the invisible and all the invisibles in Christ. So he's gathering both those things in heaven and on earth. What? Even what? In him. You know what that verse means? We are on earth in the dispensation of full time as sons. We go in through the door and we go what? In him. We go sit with him and all things in heaven. All things that the Father hath has been given to him as the appointed heir. It pleased the Father in him all the fullness would dwell. He said all that the Father has is mine. All power in heaven and earth is in me. That's a place in him. Say in him. So he merges heaven and earth in him. We go in him and heaven goes into him. Everything converges in him. It all converges. If you want to converge, you got to get in where convergence is happening. Get into the in him convergence. See, you converge and heaven converges. God, in the mystery of his will, wanted sons that could access his eternal glory now. His eternal inheritance now. He wanted an access point. He made his son the access point so that God the Father downloaded everything into Christ, and then he downloaded all of us up into Christ. We got caught up and heaven got downloaded and he's converging. It's kind of cool to be him. Kind of cool to be in him. See that? That's the mystery of his will. What we're trying to do is get all of heaven down here. You're not going to get heaven down here until you converge where heaven is. Heaven is downloaded in the Son who sits at the right hand of the Father as the appointed heir. And you got to go there to behold his glory to get it down here. Somebody say amen. Sharon sent me a prophecy of Dutch Sheets today. He said the lions are going to come out of the cave. The apostolic lions are coming out of the cave in this last hour. They're going to roar. That's us. Both in heaven and earth in him. See, you understand that verse now? You understand? It's all converged. It's not some future thing. That's now. You converge now. In whom? Oh, here we go. There's a lot of in hims and in whom. Look at verse 11. In whom what? We have obtained a what? An inheritance. Why is he talking about inheritance? Because he's talking to you as sons of a ruling monarchy that has been born legitimately by blood, been born again, and he converged his monarchy so you could access it because his monarchy is spiritual, but he gave you an access point, which was Christ, so the natural could come into Christ and all the spiritual could come into Christ. And he says, now you've obtained an inheritance. This is the mystery of my will. You've obtained an inheritance. Say, I've obtained it. Oh my, when are we going to wake up? And understand it's all in him. We got to get there. You're dead to the world. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a good place to be. That verse doesn't sound very nice in the beginning. You're dead. When you're crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, not you, but Christ living in you, that's a really good thing. That's an awesome thing. That's a glorious place. Because as long as you're living an uncrucified life, you're running around at point A, you're never going to know the glory of that place. I've obtained. You've obtained it by birthright. Say, I've obtained it by birthright. Why is it so hard? Well, it's not if you understand God's program. God had to put it in the right hand of God, and he had to put it in Christ, and he had to put it in a place called in him and the right hand of God. And he had to give you access, and he had to raise up people like me to teach you access. You gotta know how to get there. And this thing called faith is the currency transaction, currency of heaven. Nothing gets transacted in heaven without faith. You're not even going to get through that door without faith. You're not going to get to that seat without faith. You're not going to receive anything with that seat without faith. You're not going to get anything released in the earth without faith. So we got an inheritance. We obtained an inheritance. We know it's in him. He converged heaven and earth into him in the right hand of God. We go to the right hand of God. We obtain. We come back. Now what? We release it. But what happens? This is a spiritual inheritance. I still can't do anything with this. You know, I'm going to get this scripture. It's in Ezekiel somewhere. I can't remember exactly the chapter when they went into the Holy of Holies. And it said, the priest shall wear no wool. Because the priest shall not wear anything that causes them to sweat. And I'm thinking, what is up with that? And God said, you know what's up with that. When you're operating, because they were foreshadowing a heavenly priesthood, and when you're operating the present heavenly priesthood, there is no sweat of the brow there. There is no human sufficiency there. There are no works of man there. This is 100% spiritual. It's light. It's understanding. You have to see. But there's no flesh that's going on there. God's not going to let you wear anything that will cause you to sweat. 11th commandment, thou shalt not sweat. No sweat of the brow in the kingdom. And I mean, we're manifesting fullness. Christ in us. I was sat with him in the nation. Now I got a nation on the inside of me. But what am I going to do? That's a spiritual inheritance. I can't manifest it here. I'm not, and you're not capable of taking a spiritual inheritance from a kingdom that you can't even see. And now you're carrying something that you can definitely feel and definitely discern you God. But now what are you going to do? Verse 12. And we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted when you heard that word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Say, Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is, say what? Which is. Now, the King James says the earnest of our what? Here's that word again, inheritance as sons. It's the earnest, say earnest. You know what the word earnest means? Guarantor. He is the guarantor of your inheritance. He guarantees that if you get that inheritance and you obtain that inheritance and you come back with that inheritance, he will guarantee the manifestation of it into the earth. Because he's the only one that can. He's the only one that's been sanctioned and licensed from the Most High God to take that inheritance and manifest in the earth. But what God needs, God can't bypass you. If he could, he've already downloaded the whole right hand of God. We'd already be up in glory. He's got to have you for the transference. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will, thy testament be done in the earth as it is in heaven. It's going to transfer through you. You're the one carrying it back. You have to. God is legally given man the dominion. He's delegated the authority to man. He's delegated his church to us. We have to bring back what we've received. And if you get it there, you get to bypass the second heaven altogether. You go right back down. Oh, I'm first heaven. The devil goes, wait a minute. I didn't get a chance to steal that and say, I am seated far above you. You've stolen enough from me, but you're not taking this one. And if for some chance you do steal it, once I get back here, I'll go get it again. Because that inheritance will not run dry. And this causes him to fumigate. And he breathes fire out of his nostrils. And he jumps on people and it makes them really mad at you. Because he can't jump on you. I liked you last week, but these mysteries is going to turn this place upside down. It's going to turn this city upside down. It's going to turn you upside down. It's going to turn the church upside down. And the devil doesn't like it. Because he knows we're understanding the kingdom. And he's worked very, very hard. The cloud over. The Holy Spirit says, I will guarantee the inheritance. Even the Lord said he went about doing good, being anointed of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is one that's taking the transference, turning that water into wine. He takes the living waters you brought back and he turns it into manifestation. He's the only one that can do that. That's why he's the gift from above. You can't do that. Even if you brought the inheritance, even if you were pregnant 100 days, 100 years walking around pregnant in the Spirit, only one person has been sanctioned and sanctified to manifest that inheritance. It's the Holy Ghost, and nobody else can do it. He is the guarantor of your inheritance. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, Paul, after he says all this, so he gets into this prayer now. Wherefore also I heard of your faith, verse 15. Lord Jesus, love for the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, who he is, what he is, and the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what was his calling to inherit all things on the behalf of the church, behalf of the world. You may know, he wants you to pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wanted you to understand the inheritance. Isn't that glorious? He wanted you to know the inheritance. He wanted you to understand the inheritance. He wanted you to know it, understand it, get it. The inheritance you received when you were a son born of the blood, given to you from above, obtained from above, of which the Holy Spirit's the guarantor. Now he wants you to know what it is. And in the next chapter, guess what? And then he talks about Christ being raised far above principalities and powers. And God set him at his own right hand. And then next chapter, he raised you up there. Now this is an important principle. You need to understand, you were raised together. You were made to, when your old man died, it died with Christ. When your new man was raised up, he raised you all the way up to the right hand of God. He made you to sit together with him in the inheritance, in the position of the right hand of God. And he made you, according to Romans 8, a joint heir. You got to know that when you move into that position, I've been raised together. I have been made to sit together. I've been made to sit together, say sit together. God gave you something so marvelous when he said, Father, the glory you've given me, I've given them. I want you to turn to John 17 real quick, and I want to show you something, and I'll close with this. The Holy Spirit now, if you understand the way he's been teaching, he's been all over major detail. Now he's culminating all things to the final release, the guarantor. We're getting days of the manifestation of the sons of God, because the Lord told me, he goes, listen, your first birth is not coming as an apostle. Because if it came as an apostle, the people can't obtain it. It came by office. It's coming by sonship first. When it comes by sonship, all can obtain, because they obtain as sons. John 17, verse 20. Watch the two dynamics here. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, which is us. We believed on them through the word they left us, down through the ages. So verse 21, that they all may be what? One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, they also may be in us. Say, in us. So what's the first part? The Father's in Christ. And then, no, he says that they may be in us, that we're in Christ. See, the Christ is he's the one that everything converges upon. So, Father, you're in me, but they're in us. So we're in Christ. So what did I say? In the right hand of God, you're in Christ. In the realm of the Spirit, it's all about being in him. Say, in him. This is how the glory works. See, you've got to move in. See, the seat of inheritance with all this inheritance, you don't just sit there as a joint heir. You are in him. You move into a state of oneness with him. He's a king. You're a king. He's perfect in love. You enter into perfected love in oneness with him. Do you see that? You move into oneness there because you move in him and the Father's in him and the Father converges with you in Christ. Okay? So that's the first part, how the glory works. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I'm in you, they also may be one in us. Verse 21, that the world may believe that thou sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are. Now watch what he says in verse 23. Different. He says, I in them, and thou in me. So in the right hand, the Father's in Christ, we're in Christ. When we come back in the earth, I'm in them, Father, and you're in me. Father's coming back with the Lord to dwell in you on the earth. He said, if you'll keep my word, my Father and I will come and make our habitation with you here. When we're here, it's Father, it's Son here. It's Christ in us here. Because you're bringing back what you were in Christ receiving, you're bringing it back. Now it's in you. As soon as you step through the door, it's Christ in you. When you're in the kingdom, you're in him. You've got to be in. That's how you receive. You move into him. You move, you hold, you dwell. Man, I just beeline it. Say, how do you sit in that seat? I said, I am aware that that seat's there because the word tells me it's there. And I just sit down by awareness. I've been raised together. I'm sitting together. I'm in him. Father's in him. When he come back, he's in us. See that? When you have a target, the target's in Christ. What the Lord told me, he said, I started you with target just to teach you how to move into something, but I want you to actually move into me first because your target dwells in me. It's in a part of my glory. So move into me, then move into the target. When you do that, your target gets full of glory because you're moving into glory. So you're not just in empty faith, you're in glorious faith.